This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. The autumn of 1850 was one of the few truly happy times in Robert Schumann's life. He had just accepted the post of municipal music director of the city of Düsseldorf, and the moment he arrived there, he was the toast of the town. The good citizens of Düsseldorf did everything they could to make their new music director feel welcome and appreciated, with an exhausting series of speeches, serenades, celebratory concerts, banquets, and balls. Schumann's creative energies were not just engaged, they were on fire, and it took him just 15 days that October to compose his next major work, his cello concerto. Not only that, but on the day he finished the concerto, he also conducted the first of his 10 subscription concerts. Unfortunately, that was the high point of his tenure as Düsseldorf's music director. It became clear early on that Schumann wasn't up to the task, emotionally, creatively, or managerially, and he was asked to resign just 2 years later. He managed to hang on to the job for another few months, but by the end of 1853, he had conducted his last concert, and in February 1854, Schumann threw himself into the Rhine in a final suicide attempt, which led to his commitment and eventual death in an asylum hospital. But all that was in the future when Schumann and his family arrived in Düsseldorf after a vacation cruise down the Rhine. He wrote later that he had been impressed by the beauty and majesty of the river itself and awestruck by the magnificent Cologne Cathedral. Just 2 months later, days after finishing his cello concerto, Schumann began writing a new symphony that would be a tribute to the river that flows both literally and figuratively through the heart of Germany. Schumann begins his third symphony with one of his most uplifting themes. The pulse is constantly moving forward, in part because of the way the rhythm is syncopated, elongating the beat across the measure lines. It doesn't actually reach its true pulse until the second half of the opening phrase, and the tension that this opening rhythm generates runs through the entire movement. That first theme itself is never too far away. Schumann keeps contrasts to a minimum and rarely relaxes the energy and spirit of the movement, but when it does relax momentarily, the opening theme is still there in the background to sustain the forward motion. One of Schumann's signature touches shows up when he introduces some brand new material right before the end. In a moment that is reminiscent of the finale of his first symphony, The Spring, from 9 years earlier. The scherzo is a country dance that glides rather than galumphs, as if a party of peasants were trying to imitate an elegant society waltz. The secondary theme looks forward to the slightly darker trio section. Schumann's original title for the scherzo was Morning on the Rhine, and here you can almost hear the sunrise over the river. The movement comes to a relaxed conclusion, and the pace relaxes still more for the next piece. It's not really a slow movement, but more like a middle tempo intermezzo. Another Schumann innovation. Four movements had been the standard for symphonies for almost a century. This intermezzo makes it five for this work, but it's a necessary transition to the symphony's first truly slow music. One of the stops on the Schumann's Rhine journey was a visit to Cologne to witness the installation of the new Cardinal Archbishop, which took place in the famous Cologne Cathedral. Schumann was stunned by the cathedral, which is the largest Gothic building in Northern Europe, and he enjoyed the pomp and splendor of the ceremony. The Cologne Cathedral was almost as much a national symbol to Germans as the river itself, and the fourth movement of the Rhenish Symphony is Schumann's musical monument to it. His use of the trombone choir here is not only effective, but genuinely affecting. The fifth movement begins with an outpouring of simple good cheer. And only gradually reveals itself as a kind of extension or completion of the cathedral section. As he moves towards a brilliant closing, Schumann once again refers to the symphony's opening. It took Schumann just 4 weeks to write his Rhenish Symphony, fired by his optimism in the face of new challenges and a fresh start among people more joyful and outgoing than any he had known. The honeymoon didn't last long, though, and given the severity of the depressions that he already battled, it may have been that fact, more than any other, that led him sooner rather than later to the end of his life. But this symphony comes from happier times, and its high spirits mark the high point in the life of Robert Schumann. Thank you. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.